it wasn't that we came to agreement that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, not what Ananias did. Christ saved Paul. And what he said, what he's really saying is that at that time, the message that was going on was the gospel of the kingdom at that time. That's what the program, and Paul was representing something new. But he got saved when he said that he was saved under that program. He was really saying the program was going on at the time that he got saved. It wasn't the water that saved Paul. See, and that was my issue, was that the water was, you know, even though I know about the faith part, everybody's always been saved because of their faith, but the water. See, I had a problem with the water putting someone into the body. And so we got that straight. And it's not the water that put Paul in the body. So everything is pretty well clear. Matter of fact, he invited me to the conference in March. Amen.
Yeah, I think that he was chosen and set apart from his mother's womb, which I take it to be Israel. But, yeah, I'm okay now. Everything's cool.
Well, you know, there was just a... It wasn't just that one thing. There's just been several different conversations and all. And so Acts was starting to get to be an issue, because what was happening was I was starting to hear the very same things that I learned in the Apostolic Church. And you know, that message has got to be different. You know, and there's no way that, you know, it's just the things that differ is what really made me understand the great message, not the things that were the same. And the fact that Paul, if you say that Paul and Peter were saved the same way, then what are you going to do with Acts 3:19 through 21? What are you going to do, you know, with all the things that the 12, you know, they were saved by the earthly ministry of Christ, whereas Paul was saved by the ascended Christ? I mean, you know, there's got to be a difference. And so Abraham was saved because he believed God. And then he was circumcised. Paul was on the road to Damascus, and that's where he believed God, because he asked him what did he want him to do. So he's believing God now. He knows that that's Jesus. So to me, that's where the salvation came in. He was baptized. Ananias, that's all he knew. He was a devout Jew. The same thing that happened at Cornelius' house with Peter. Even though Cornelius and his household received the Holy Spirit first, Peter still baptized them because that's what he knew. And so, you know, that was my understanding before, and that's still my understanding now, and that's what I had to get cleared up in my own mind. So that's where the whole issue was for me yesterday. Amen.
Well, I guess it's okay for me to go now. Exodus, I got all caught up in that too, and so, but I think it's pretty clear now. And if there were no two programs, you know, I was starting to get really thinking that's what was being said, you know, that they were the same program. And I really apologize too, because I was freaking out and thinking that I might as well just go back to the Assemblies of God, you know, if they're going to be teaching different doctrines. But I think it was just me yesterday. I don't know what was wrong with me. I mean, I wasn't out of my hormones or anything.
Now I'm back, folks. Just open up, because there wasn't any good rooms out there. But what you got to do, you got to understand real clearly that the book of Acts is transitional. And you got to understand that you can't lay anchor on the doctrine there in the book of Acts. There's two overlapping programs going on. The end of the kingdom program and the law, and then the dispensation of the grace of God. And you got to understand very clearly that Saul, there in Acts chapter 7, before his conversion at the stoning of Stephen, that you need to understand that was still in place up until the point of Paul's conversion. It was still going on, that economy. No one else knew anything else And welcome in, everyone, Susama, Flam, Mike, and Lee, and Debbie, that was still in place. Even after Paul's conversion, it was still overlapping. So you got to let the book of Acts transcend. And when you look at Paul, you got to look at the things that he did in the early part of his ministry, what was given to him, and what happened after the Acts period. So the signs of the apostles that Paul had, you got to understand that they were given to provoke Israel. That's very important. Romans chapter 11 tells us about that. So when you look specifically, and I've seen other people use the issue of Paul and what he did. Paul baptized. People were circumcised. You know, these different issues. You got to let the book of Acts transcend. You got to let it go from law to grace, from kingdom to the earthly program. When you look at his conversion in Acts chapter 9, you need to understand what's taking place and where he went first. Welcome at Bible. Go ahead, Brother Lee.
Well, Brother Don, I don't have any problems with what Paul did at his conversion. I know that that was transition. But his salvation cannot be transitional. You know, what he did was, I mean, the programs was what was transitioning, not Paul's salvation. See, and so it wasn't the issue of what Paul did after he was saved. The issue was, how was Paul saved and when was he saved? And see, it wasn't, your salvation can't be transitional. How can he be saved in the kingdom and then be transitioned into the body? I mean, you know, I don't understand what you're saying there, Brother Don. What he did was transitional, but his salvation is not transitional. Go ahead.
Well, it just seems to be that you're putting such very emphasis on Paul's conversion that you're not looking at what was given to him. So that's why I see you saying it has to be this way, or if it's not that way, then everything's in vain, and it just doesn't go that way. Just because you say, well, he had to be converted the same way you were, but what does the scripture tell you about Paul and his conversion? That's the issue, Lee.
Well, if Paul was saved the same way Peter was, then what are you going to do with 1 Timothy 1:16? See, it's getting so now, you know, that they're changing the word first to foremost there in 1:16. And you know, you see, it says that howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. It says believe on him to life everlasting. Not being water baptized. I think Paul's salvation is critical, Don. How Paul is saved is critical. I mean, you know, if what's different? If he's saved the same way Peter is, then what's different?
Lee, you're making the big issue about it, but 1 Timothy, Paul is the first, verse 16, first member of the church, the body of Christ. That doesn't change regardless if Paul was dunked in the water, if he was indwelled by the Holy Spirit, or what have you. You're trying to make that a bigger issue than what was given to Paul and what God was doing. So that's what I'm seeing. And you're saying it lies all upon one verse. And you're saying that when in reference it was a transition. And look at what was in place. Was the dispensation of the grace of God in place during at the time of Paul's conversion? Wasn't the information given to the Apostle Paul by the risen Christ? And didn't he receive the information progressively so that he could understand what God was doing? It wasn't Paul at all being the one saying, okay, you know, this is the pattern here. But Paul was given the doctrine to deliver. Go ahead, Brother Mike. Well, I think the common thing here that we need to understand, Hebrews 11, it says by faith. And that's one thing that we have in common. When you look at that, then it's not such a hard thing to try. And I think sometimes when you try to take it apart to the point that you miss what really happened and what God is really doing, with the Apostle Paul. And the church about forming of the new creature, the one new man acquainted.
Well, my only thing, Brother Don, is this. Before the grace message, I was taught that Paul and Peter being saved the same way, they're all part of the same program and all. I just, you know, and when you say that if Paul is saved the same way that Peter is saved, I just don't understand how we can say that when that would make Peter a pattern also. See, I mean, there's got to be something different about Paul in order for him to be the pattern. I mean, you know, I'm not making this all out of one verse. I mean, I know what Paul's message is. I know the Acts is a transitional book. But my understanding is that the programs were transitional, not one's individual salvation. I mean, my understanding is that Paul was saved because he believed God, not because he was water baptized.
Well, Lee, how about this? Tell me how and when, because you're making these absolutes here, but tell me how and when Paul was saved. Point to it specifically, all right? And then show me how Peter was saved.
Well, Peter was saved when Christ told him to pick up his cross and follow him. When he picked it up, and Peter did. He didn't go home and tell his wife that he was going to follow Jesus or anything. He just went up and followed him. In Acts 9 here, when Paul asked the Lord, "What would thou have me to do?" To me, that's at that moment Paul was saved. Peter was part of the old program. Under the old program, you had to be water baptized, because Israel was going to become a kingdom of priests. If in the dispensation of grace, you don't get water baptized because we are not priests. We're in the body of Christ. Well, okay, Acts 9 here. Here's the point. I know that it's different. Show me where they're the same. That's the point. Show me where Peter got saved the same way that Paul got saved. Because I know that here, to my opinion is, not opinion, but according to the scriptures here, where it says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the priest." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." At that moment, he was saved. Because even before Ananias lays hands on him in verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before this town and the kings and the children of Israel." So he's already saved before he gets water baptized. Same thing at Cornelius' house. They were saved before Peter put them in the water. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to get you there, Mike. And thank you, McBible, for pointing that out, the verse in Acts chapter 26. But that's the issue, Lee. I didn't ask you the question for you to ask another question that they will show where they were the same. I'm not saying that they were the same, but what's going to come to you is, and since you have since we're talking about this, is to be able to show someone the differences and what occurred, okay? So don't answer the question with the question, but go ahead, Mike, and Slim, and then come on up, Brother Lee.
Well, I think we might be getting hung up on the 1 Timothy 1:16 issue as far as the pattern is concerned. I don't think that the pattern is a reference to the actual message that Paul believed in. I think the pattern has to do with what we see in the context of the earlier verses. The context of the passage is talking about how low Paul was, and how unworthy he was, and how the grace and the mercy of God extended down to him despite all those things. In verse 13, it says, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And, of course, a blasphemer was the unpardonable sin under the Jewish program. Right, right. He didn't even qualify, but the grace of God extended down to him despite that. So that's, and if you look at the description of the Gentile nations in time past, that's the state that they were in, the very same state. So Yeah, they didn't qualify either. So that's the, I believe that's what it's talking about when Paul says that he is the pattern. It just defines the manner in which we are saved, not necessarily the message itself. Go ahead.
Go ahead there, Brother Lee. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, now that verse there, now see now, this right here, verse 18, solves the problem for me. I mean, for my own understanding. But see, it brings two things up, though. Okay, let's first look at this verse 18 in Acts 26, where it says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul already has it there. And see, and that's my point. See, when you say that Paul and Peter are saved the same way, that creates something different than what the message is that the grace message is. Also, the one thing that you hear more, and maybe what Josh just said about 1 Timothy, that verse in 1 Timothy, is true. But see, the emphasis is always put on that verse that Paul is the pattern for us and that he is the first one into the body of Christ. So see, that is the way the verse is always used. So that is why people, I'm not talking about saying that here today, Don, but see, but it becomes an issue if the emphasis is always Paul is our pattern. He's the first one into the body of Christ. Then we need to explain then, in what way is Paul our pattern? Is it the way he got saved? Is it the fact that he's in the body of Christ? How is Paul our pattern? And in what way is Paul our pattern? And when we say that Paul and Peter are saved the same way, then what is really being said? Now, that's not being said here in the room today, but I mean, but, you know, that was why I needed a clarification of that. Not that, you know, so the question came because of the statement, not because of what I believe.
Yeah, but Lee, you're still talking about that. Move on now. The question to you, as a person that's here, want to get the understanding, and this issue is real important to you. Show me in Scripture with clear context, and this is so that you can see and others can see Paul's conversion. Okay, don't talk about what someone said the other day and stuff like this. Show that in clear context with what happened with Peter, and then you have your answer right there. And then the things that happened that they showed you, then you can show the difference. And that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to rehash the argument about what people said or what have you. Show the context of the Scriptures. Okay? Go ahead, Flynn.
Yeah, the issue with the pattern was basically what I was getting at last time. I don't know if I made that terribly clear or not, but he's a pattern in the sense that he matches the same conditions that the Gentile nations were in, and the grace of God was exceeding abundant in verse 14, and saved him anyway, despite the fact that he was in that condition. That's how he is our pattern in that sense. I don't think it has anything to do with the actual message itself that he heard. You know, we're in the dispensation of what's called the dispensation of the grace of God, not because God wasn't showing grace in the past, but because his grace is extending to people who beforehand were not receiving that grace. And you know, Paul, by being a blasphemer, was in the same kind of state that the Gentiles were. They were without hope and without God in the world in time past. And the grace of God saved him anyway.
Thank you, Dr. Flynn, and thank you, McBible. I tell you, for a man that's not hitting the mic, you're putting the Scriptures forth to help us out with the context. Let's even look here, Lee. This is what I'm saying by asking the question. Note here in Romans chapter 15, and let's pick it up in verse 15, okay? This can show you what was given to Paul as Paul being our pattern. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I dare not to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Though mighty signs and wonders, but the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I'm sorry about that word. You know, this is what I'm asking you, Brother Lee, and I know you can do it. All you have to do is just think about what we're showing. We're showing the things that differ. We're showing what was given to him as the first member of the church, the body of Christ. We're showing him as a pattern, and we're showing it through the doctrine that was delivered unto him. Okay? Go ahead, Brother Lee.
Okay, I understand that, Brother Don. And that has been my understanding all along. The problem was, is when you change it and say that it's the same. I mean, that was my question. I mean, my understanding is exactly what you're saying. You know, that Paul was given, I know the message he was given was different. You know, and I know what he did, you know, at the time when he first was converted. But see, you know, the issue was not about what the message was that Paul got. For me, it wasn't, you know. But I just, you know, the issue became an issue when Paul and Peter was identified as the same. I mean, you know, I don't have any problem with what you're saying now at all. Not at all. So it's not a debate. We're just kind of getting things understood. But it wasn't that at all, Brother Don. Not that I disagree with the message of Paul or anything like that. Not at all. But the salvation, that was the problem I had. You know, and really it's not, you know, we can end that part of it because I know that it was not saved. You know, so that's what I had to get cleared up.
Yeah, Donnie Chambers, if you want to come in and start up falsely accused what's going on. You came in late. You don't understand what's actually taking place here. So if you want to head out, go right ahead. But I still want you to show it, Brother. Exit it out. Show me. Take the scriptures and show his conversion and show the differences there concerning what happened with Peter. Okay, if you can do that.
Okay. Okay, let's start at first place we're going to start is in Acts chapter 3. That's where we'll start at, Acts chapter 3. And you go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, and you talk about the conversion of the nation of Israel, where it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." Now that talks about the nation of Israel. Individually, let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Let's start with verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So those are the ones that are in the past, individuals. Now, those individuals that are in the past, see, God never told them to bring sacrifices, but that was a provision that if they sinned, they would provide those sacrifices so that they were doing what God wanted them to do. So by faith, they brought the sacrifices. And so they wasn't saved at that time. They were just covering up the sins. But then they weren't saved us here until Romans 3:25 as individuals. Now that's how Peter and the 12 and all of them were saved there. Now, the way we get saved, or the way, or if you want to just say specifically, Paul gets saved, and then you go to Acts 9, and at the moment that Paul believed God, right there on the road to Damascus, the one that I read earlier, where he said, when he asked him, "What must he, you know, what wilt thou have me to do?" At that point, he's believing God. Also in verse 15, the Lord is telling Ananias that he is a chosen vessel. So to me, that's the difference. as to how they were saved.
Well, let me be a little bit more specific. I want you to show me Peter. When was he saved? And show me how he was saved. And then show me Paul. And show me the scriptures. And then explain why Paul was water baptized, if he came brotherly.
Oh, I don't know why Paul was water baptized. I think that's because that's what was going on at that time. But Romans 3:25 tells you when Peter was saved, Peter was not saved until Christ died on the cross, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. There's no one in the old economy was saved until after Christ died on the cross. They had done the things that God wanted them to do, but they were not saved until Christ died on the cross. And the way we know that is because, and look in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See, it was because of their faith, but it didn't happen until Christ died at the cross. So even though they didn't know that that was going to happen for their sins, but that's when it happened. They did all those other things, but Peter was not saved until Christ died on the cross. Now, why Paul was baptized, I think he was baptized for the same reason that Peter baptized Cornelius. That's what they knew at that time, and that's what was going on at that time. But Paul was not baptized because he was going to be a kingdom priest. That was the reason why people were baptized. And also in Luke where it says that, I'm not sure exactly what chapter, where it says that those that were baptized, they justified God. That is, that they believed what God was telling them. That's why they were, and they justified, they showed that they believed God. And the lawyers and the Pharisees that didn't get baptized, they didn't believe God. But they weren't saved at the time that they got baptized. They weren't saved until Christ died on the cross.
The reason why Paul was baptized there is in Acts chapter 9, I believe, and it'll show you clearly. Start reading about verse 8, and go down until Ananias, down to verse 17, and you'll get your answer there.
I see in verse 18 where it says, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. It don't say why he was baptized. It just says that he was baptized. Why was he baptized? I mean, I know that he told him to go to Straight Street, and Ananias would tell him what to do. So if he got baptized because Ananias told him, then, that would be the reason why he got baptized. But they don't say that it was for salvation or anything like that.
Lee, I'm addressing the issue of why he got baptized. Now, start there in verse 8 and go to verse 17-18, okay?
Okay, in verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul, the Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee, is in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. I still don't understand why he was baptized. Where does it say why he was baptized?
And, brother, think about it there, those passages, Brother Lee, and Brother Mike, come on up with your question there, because I remember Lee sharing about Acts chapter 3, about the times of refreshing. So pose your question there, Brother Mike. Now, the issue I was addressing with Brother Lee is the issue of why Paul was water baptized. Because, of course, Peter was water baptized and many others under the kingdom program. But when you look at this instance in the book of Acts and think about it, things happened in the book of Acts and things were different in the book of Acts. So that's showing you those passages, 8 through 18, why Paul was baptized. It was for a specific reason and purpose.
Oh, there, Brother Don. I read it. I don't see where it says why Paul was baptized. I read all those verses, and I don't see anything that says Paul was baptized for this reason or not baptized for this reason. It just says, and was baptized. What, I mean, what's the reason why he was baptized?
Well, Brother Lee, think about it. Did it have anything to do with his sight and that he was blind and that he saw in a vision that Ananias would lay hands on him and baptize him and he would receive the Holy Ghost? Think about it. Look at verse 12 there.
Verse 12 says, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And then when you get over there in verse 17, there's, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And so that was the vision there, that he would lay hands on him and that he would receive sight. That's what verse 12 says. I mean, they don't say baptism in verse 12, even though he was baptized in verse 18.
Well, man, what I'm trying to show you is that differs from Peter, even though you can understand some similarities, but Peter didn't have to go to Ananias, did he? Was Peter sent to Ananias for Ananias to lay hands on him and for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Think about it, Lee.
Oh, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, that is no, you know, I mean, it don't say that that's why he got baptized, though. I mean, if we're talking about whether what happened is different than what happened to Peter, then, yeah, that's definitely so. But I still don't see where it says why Paul was baptized. Peter didn't have to do that. That's definitely different. I mean, I know that the salvation is different between the two, but, I mean, the why he was baptized, my understanding is that because Ananias is, still under the law, and he baptizing. My understanding is he baptizing for the same reason that Peter baptized Cornelius, and that's because that's what was going on at that time, and that's what they knew. And after people received the Holy Ghost, they were either baptized before they received the Holy Ghost or after they received the Holy Ghost. That's what they've been going on all the time. See, like the Ethiopian was baptized afterwards. Down in Samaria, they had been baptized, and then it wasn't until the disciples went down and laid hands that they received the Holy Ghost. In Acts 19, Paul laid hands on them, and then he baptized them disciples of John. So, I mean, you know, there's a combination of water baptism and laying on of hands going on all through the book of Acts. I understand that, you know, and that's my understanding as to why Paul would be baptized is because that's what was going on. Ananias laid hands, and that was part of the ritual of that was going on at that time. But, if that's the case, I want to get back to where we were before because, I mean, the laying on of hands and the water baptism is not what saved Papa. I mean, that's just what was going on at that time.
Lee, you can't, you're saying that was going on at that time. That's not the issue. The issue is that he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. That's verse 12. Now, the issue, you want to say, well, why did he get baptized? Well, that's why he got baptized. All right? That's why he got baptized. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appointed unto thee in the way as thou comest, he sent me that he might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? And you say that wasn't a baptism. That was a baptism of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. And immediately, verse 18, there fell from his eyes, as he had been scaled, and received sight with forth, and arose, and was baptized. Okay?
So what you're saying is that Paul had two baptisms. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then he was baptized again in verse 18.
Lee, I didn't say anything. I read the scriptures. I didn't say anything. I just showed you. He wanted to know why Paul was baptized. Paul was given a vision during his conversion, and that's why Ananias laid hands on him. That's why Ananias baptized him. Okay?
I'm missing something. If someone else could explain that to me, please, because I am really missing the point.
Thank you, Debbie. You know, it was a purpose for what all happened there in Acts chapter 9. And therefore, Ananias fulfilled the vision that Paul had seen. And that's why. I mean, I don't see how that's so hard to understand.
Okay, let's take verse 12 there, Brother Don. Well, let's look. Okay, in verse 11. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. It says he saw a vision of Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, and he might receive his sight. There's nothing in that verse about baptism. I mean, you know, now we can read that in there if we want to, but that verse talks about putting hands on and receiving sight. It doesn't say baptism there at all. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But see, but I still haven't seen anywhere where it says that this only says that he's going to lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. It don't say anything about baptism. He was baptized, but it don't say that he was going to be baptized. And it's nowhere that says that he told Ananias to baptize him. That's why I don't understand how you can get that from verse 12.
Well, Lee, do you remember Matthew chapter 3? John baptized with water, but he will come after thee. He shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. Does that shake your memory?
Yeah, well, I understand that. He's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost, right. But in the dispensation of grace, which Paul is beginning of, is starting something new, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Not Jesus baptizing you with the Holy Ghost. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. I mean, you know, under the old program, now if that's the case, then he was baptized with the Holy Spirit and water baptized, which is the two baptisms that they were baptized with in order to make him a priest. You know, the Holy Ghost is like the anointing after the water baptism. That's what makes them kingdom priests. That's all of Israel had to do. They had to be washed, which is water baptism, and then they had to be anointed, which was the Holy Spirit. That was part of becoming kingdom priests. But Paul was not a kingdom, did not become a kingdom priest. Paul became a part of the body of Christ, not a part of the nation of Israel.
Lee, you keep saying this, but we're dealing with what took place and what happened, okay? Did he not, there in verse 17, as it says, and you read the verse, it says here, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee, and the way that cometh, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? Now that's clear. Could that not be what would happen there at that time? You're saying it didn't happen because that would be putting Paul in Peter's program. But that did not put Paul in Peter's program at all. And welcome in, Second Timothy, and welcome in, Brother Jesse. You have to look at what's given, Lee, what's given in the scriptures. You have to look at that, and you have to... You can't just ignore it and say, well, no, it couldn't have been that way because Paul is our pattern. But look at what happened. And Paul is still our pattern, okay? Go ahead there, Deb, and welcome in there, Gene. Grace and peace here, sis.
I was just looking. Okay, Matthew 15, we'll see Jesus. He was baptized. It says, and Jesus and then to be found now. For thus it did fulfill all righteousness, and then he suffered him. So Jesus was talking about this, and I believe that Paul baptized for the Jews' sake, for Israel's sake. I don't have a scripture for that, though.
Yeah, and, you know, back to Acts chapter 26, as it says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which is those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It's pretty clear there, Brother Lee, when you look at those, when you look at that passage, you will see that he was separated from everything else to be that pattern. And so it doesn't change anything what happened there in Acts chapter 9. Or if there's anything similar or anything that that occurred at Paul's conversion. Okay? And that's the point that I'm trying to make to you.
Well, I mean, now, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, because there's a difference. And see, and that's what I needed to see all along, was the difference. Not the same, but I needed to see the difference. And that's because I thought it was a difference. And that's what that, so that makes all the sense in the world. And then, I was just sitting there trying to figure out that, in that one, that last verse that you read there in Acts 9, when he, why he, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Because, you know, there had to be a reason. And the reason why he was filled with the Holy Ghost is because he has to be a witness. He's also a witness to, it says, the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So, see, I mean, I'm thinking that being baptized with the Holy Spirit now enables him to do those things. He can also be a witness to Israel. And then when he receives the message for the Gentiles, the one baptism in Ephesians, he'll be able to explain that. So, I mean, that's all I, you know, that was my whole concern in the first place, that the difference. I need to see the difference, and that's what I wanted to see, was the difference.
Well, you can't really, you know, when you're saying that about what happened, well, think about this, Lee. Even there, that's why you explain things in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Even after that point, he did water baptize of you. That's why he's telling you that that he did Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanus. But then he showed you very clearly. So you got to understand why he did those things and why the doctrine that he's delivering them there to the Corinthians. Okay, so don't get hung up on because a lot of people do it also, especially when they look at Acts chapter 21, you know, with the Nazaretic vow and all of those things. Even though Paul did it, but he's showing us through the doctrine that was something that occurred there in the Acts period, and that's what I'm trying to show you.
Well, I mean, I understand that, you know, See, the thing about it is what you're saying is what my understanding was, but when the other statement was made, it clouded the issue. See, I mean, I knew that that's why Paul baptized, is because that's what was going on at that time. And it wasn't until he had the revelation that baptism was no longer, the water baptism was no longer a part of the dispensation of grace. So his progressive revelation showed him that. But and that was my understanding all the time. So, I mean, there's a difference, you know, and that was my understanding, and I was trying to maintain that difference, whereas, you know, that's all. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I you know, that's why I've seen it all along, that it was a difference, and I know why Paul did what he did, because he was two programs was changing, And that's what was going on. And I had no problem with him being saved during the with that one program going on. But I don't know. I understand.
Well, I'm just trying to point out to you the last point. Like I say, why was he baptized? Why did he needed to go to Ananias there? Why did Ananias need to go to him? And that issue, because he was blind. He was blinded by the light. And he saw in that vision that Ananias would come to him. And that's it. I mean, the Bible gives us a clear example. It talks about the vision, then it talks about the vision being fulfilled. And welcome in there, Christine. Grace and peace is in our Savior, sis.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me? I'm using this dumb headset, and I'm not sure that it's working well. Can you hear me all right? Oh, good, good. Yeah, well, I'm always too loud, so there's nothing I can do about that. I'm a loud mouth. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's my anniversary today. Oh, I got 12 long-stemmed red roses and a diamond heart necklace, and I get to go out to dinner tonight. So there.
I just want to say they can hear you clear all around my neighborhood. Happy anniversary, though. I hope you have a good one. See, the one thing, and the reason I wanted to point this out to you, you know, the Calvinists, Brother Lee, based their whole doctrine on it, that irresistible grace saved the Apostle Paul or converted the Apostle Paul. So think about that. But look what happened afterward. And what happened afterward was for a specific point and reason. And that's what I was trying to illustrate to you. So when you go and teach, or you go and minister to someone, or you address someone with those questions about Paul's conversion and Peter's conversion, it's best to go strictly with the Scripture. It's best to go and show it in a clear context to eliminate confusion. If you show what happened at Paul's conversion, then it's not anything wrong. It's not putting Paul into Peter's program because during that point in time when Ananias came to him because he had been 3 days without sight. Think about that. That's given to us in the Scriptures. And Ananias laid hands upon him. That's not going to change anything. Paul still is our pattern. Okay? Welcome there, Sister Linda. Grace and peace is in our Savior. And Proverbs 6:2 and Emerald Child. Grace and peace is in our Savior. Go ahead, Lee.
And one more time, Brother Don, now. And this has to be clear in my mind. Now, at what point in this process was Paul saved, though? At what point, you know, from the time that he saw the light on the road of Damascus to all the way to verse 19, at what point was Paul saved, though? Is there any way to determine that?
Lee, what I've been trying to get at you, brother, from every time that we talk about some of these issues, you got to dig it out in there. I want you to show me and tell the room. When you make a statement that it was completely different, then you got to show it. You got to show that context. Show it. Do your homework. Show the context. Show all the scriptures that Paul talked about what happened at his conversion. Okay? And then you'll see. Then the Bible will answer your question. The Bible will give you the complete context.
Don, I'm just asking, when was Paul saved? At what point was Paul saved? I'm looking at it here. I'm trying to figure it out. Was he saved after he got baptized? Was he saved on the road to Damascus? That's what I'm trying to figure. Where was he saved? I'm asking. I don't know, so I'm asking.
real quick, I'm not going to answer, Brother Lee. I want you to point to us and show the room. Maybe not at this time, but I want you to really, really do some research. Yeah, Gene, I wanted Lee to dig it out there. I didn't want any. Gene's got such quick fingers. I wanted Lee to dig it out. I mean, not to be rude or mean or anything like that. I wanted Lee to search it out so that he can be absolutely sure, absolutely certain when he does this. And I didn't want to answer it for him, but I want at least, because it's going to take that for him to be fully persuaded. You see what I'm saying? I didn't want to answer it for him. I wanted Lee to dig it out.
But why not, Brother Don? I want to know, when was Paul saved? That's my question. Actually, that verse there in 11 and 12 does not say that he was saved. That talks about when he received the gospel. You know, what he received, it said that was preached, he didn't receive after man. But I want to know, at what point was Paul saved? So you asked me to show a few minutes ago the difference. If I don't know when he's saved, I can't even show the difference between when. I know Peter wasn't saved until Christ died on the cross. I do know that. No Old Testament saint was saved until Christ died on the cross. But, you know, Paul is going to be the first one into the body of Christ. So we have to believe the gospel to get into the body of Christ. What did Paul do to get into the body of Christ? See, I mean, you know, these are questions, you know, that, I mean, you know, I'm not, because I want to know. If I could figure it out, I probably would have done figured it out by now. You know, that's the only reason I'm asking.
All right, you asked the question there, was he saved before he was baptized there or afterwards? Now, Gene, come on up and give him that answer again. He must have missed that one in text before you posted the other stuff. now, the reason I did that, Lee, and I reposted those comments by Jeanette there, when you look there in verse 8, in verse 9, it says, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. So, he wasn't, Ananias didn't come to him and lay hands on him until 3 days later. And anybody else would like to share with Brother Lee about what we're talking about, feel free to do so. And, you know, you got to take all of those things in consideration when it's being shown there in Acts chapter 9. But it shows the context of what happened. It shows what happened after the 3 days. And therefore, it was there for a purpose. And I showed the purpose of why Ananias was sent to lay hands on him. And, you know, so that's the full context.